We're studying in the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel. We're ready to begin at the 26th verse. And in this part of the passage, we're in the very midst of the story of David's great sin. His sin in which he committed adultery with Bathsheba. What has happened up to this point is David has committed the sin with Bathsheba. And as a result, she has become pregnant. She's with child. Her husband is off fighting in the wars to defend the nation of Israel. He's fighting against the Ammonites. They have the city of Rabbah under besiege. And so David, in order to try to cover this up, has her husband to come home for a short visit under the pretense that he's getting a report about the war from him. But he really wants him to go in and to lay with his wife so that then this child will be his in the eyes of everyone, including Uriah. However, Uriah refuses to go in to his wife. He says as long as Israel is out in the field and dwelling in tents and the ark is in a tent, that then he's not going to indulge in the luxuries of home. And so this move having failed, then David plots to have him put to death, to have him to be put into such an indefensible position on the battlefield that he'll be slain by the arrows or the swords of the Ammonites. And he writes Joab a letter to this effect to... Of course, Joab is the commander of the army, and Joab complies. It does happen, and Uriah, the Hittite then, is slain. It's actually an act of murder that David has concocted to cover up his act of adultery. So in verse 26 of chapter 11, we begin, "And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son." So now we have a lot of things said in a short period. When Bathsheba heard that her husband was dead, she went through a period of mourning. No doubt it was the period that legalistically was required. Some say it was as short as 7 days. And as soon as this period of mourning was over, then she was married to David. He fetched her to his house and she became his wife and bare him a son. So she did have the child, and although the death of Uriah kept him from bringing a protest, kept him from bringing a charge against his wife and against David, and whatever the consequences of that charge might bring, the bearing of this son still published the crime. It was no doubt something that caused many to wonder, many an eyebrow to be raised as to just what did happen. Here so soon after the marriage, a baby's born. And it seems that maybe in the eyes of man that David is able to outlive this thing, to kind of shush it up. It seems that maybe man is not going to be able to really cause him any problems with this. But we read the last sentence of this chapter, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." The whole sordid affair displeased the Lord. The sin with Bathsheba, the lie and the deception that followed it, the murder of Uriah, and then, of course, the marriage of Bathsheba to David. This has to be David's blackest hour. This has to be the time in which he is the farthest away from the Lord. No doubt, his harp is not in tune at this time that he can sing the sweet psalms of God. No doubt his pen is now silent. He's not writing any psalms now. He's not receiving the miraculous inspiration of God at this time. David is an offender. This is the man who was very careful when he cut off the skirt of Saul, that he not injure Saul, and he even felt so badly about cutting the skirt of the king. This is the man who now has plotted the murder of Uriah the Hittite and is now content that it has been brought about. What a change. We read in 1 Kings 15:5 where a reference is made to this. "Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." So this whole thing is called the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's one time in which David turned aside from the Lord. That's one time when David didn't do that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And now as we're studying right in the very midst of that dark time of David's life. And so let us remember that anyone who would want to take this example of David and to use it as a reason for committing a similar type of sin must remember that it's the thing that has displeased the Lord. It is the thing that is definitely a sin, not only in the life of David, but in the life of anyone else who would commit this. So we must continually remember that this is used as a deterrent to sin rather than as an excuse for sin. And so we bring to a close the 11th chapter of 2 Samuel and move on into the 12th chapter.